Property valuations in Ellis County, along with a proposal from Big Creek Crossing to extend the Community Improvement District there, made headlines this week. GrowHaze Executive Director Doug Williams stops by to talk about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
They are going up. The county appraiser met with the county commission on Monday and indicated that based on state statute, they have to stay within 90% of actual market value on the valuation of property in Ellis County. And last year, they were just above that 90%. And of course, we've had a very active market, particularly in residential real estate in Ellis County. And so values have gone up, sale prices have gone up. She indicated that we were going to see valuations increase, and those who have been getting their valuation notices have seen that increase.
That's not a good thing for them, is it? For a personal household?
I would argue that it's the way it is now.
What can we do?
And I think that the misconception people have is they think if their valuation goes up, their property tax is going to go up, and that's just not the case. The only way their property tax goes up is if, in fact, the county spends more money next year than they spent this year, because the valuation is spread, the expense that the county incurs, their budget, is spread across the valuation as in its total. And so if valuations double and they spend the same amount of money, your property taxes don't go up. By the same token, if valuations would be cut in half and the county spends the same amount of money, your taxes don't go up or go down. And so it that's the correspondence there, is it's what the county spends and what the valuation is. They spread it across that valuation equally. So that's not to say that property taxes aren't going to increase. I fully would expect property taxes to increase this next year because costs have increased. You know, they're having a difficult time hiring people, and the ones they do hire, like for EMS and that type of thing, they're having to pay more money, and other costs increase. But just because your property, your valuation goes up 20 or 25%, absolutely does not mean that your property taxes are going to go up 20 to 25%. And I think people need to understand that aspect of it. I'm always, it's always interesting to me to see people, particularly in my old real estate days, people would express a lot of dismay and anger about their property value going up right up until the time they're ready to sell it. And then they are very much interested in what their property might be worth. So, you know, the main thing is that the county appraiser by statute has to reflect the market value of properties, and market value has increased. And as a consequence, valuations are going to be up. But it doesn't necessarily mean that property taxes are going to be up. And I think the other thing people need to understand is that Ellis County, or at least the city of Hayes, if you live in the city of Hayes, the mill levy in the city of Hayes is the lowest mill levy in the state of Kansas. I don't care where else you go. You can look at all the others. We're the lowest mill levy that exists in the state of Kansas for 2021. Now, does that mean our property taxes are lower than any other place in the state? Not necessarily, because valuation is a part of that component in how property taxes are calculated. So, you know, our valuations are high relative to other places, but our mill levy is low relative to other places. I looked just yesterday, our mill levy for 2021, I believe, was 109 in the city of Hayes. Dodge City's 181. Garden City 176, Salina 140 or something like that. I mean, we're considerably lower, and you know, I don't have information regarding valuation comparisons as far as what a 3-bedroom, 2-car garage house might sell for in Dodge City or Garden City, but I have looked at the property taxes on a $250,000 house in Dodge City, and they're way higher than Hayes. So, you know, it's just a matter of your perspective on some of these things. But I think it's important that people understand that the valuation does not necessarily, an increase in valuation does not necessarily result in an increase in property tax.
Okay. So, yeah. So if you're seeing that giant increase, take a beat. It's going to be okay.
Well, it is what it is. You know, you're not going to change it. But understand that I think the knee-jerk reaction for most of us, including me, is to think, oh my God, my property value went up.
It's
a big jump. I can't believe this. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have this huge increase in property tax. And it probably does actually reflect the true value of your property.
You know, I do. I'm curious because one of the things I hear quite a bit from people out in the community is that Hayes is more expensive than other places to live. And I think really that perception maybe is skewed because of what surrounds us, which is very, very rural areas, right? Like it is quite a bit cheaper to live in, say, La Crosse than it would be Hayes. But, you know, when you compare Hayes to cities our size, I think it's we're on the lower end, right?
Well, in many ways we are. Certainly our mill levy is the lowest. Cost of housing is high in Hayes, always has been. And, you know, we're working to, and that's the other thing that people need to understand, I think, is that the price of housing is primarily based on two things. One is replacement cost, you know, construction cost. The other is supply and demand. And we have not built enough new homes to have enough supply in our community. And we've got this high demand right now and not much supply, and it drives the price up. That's why houses sell for more than they're listed for. And they're seeing that all over the country right now, and we're seeing it here as well. But if we can even out our supply, if we can bring more supply to the market, we will see prices stabilize or even go down perhaps, because we need to get our supply and demand back in order. It's not that, you know, realtors don't set the prices of housing. You know, they don't determine what houses are going to sell for. The market does. And if you've got an unbalanced supply and demand situation where you've got way too little supply and way too much demand, what happens? It doesn't matter what commodity you're talking about. The price of the item goes up. And that's the situation we have here.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we've talked many, many times about all of the work that's being done. Matter of fact, last week, we got a story up on Hayes Post right now. There's activity down at the housing development.
Right.
And there are steps underway to kind of correct that. And it's, I think, long-term going to balance out, but it's just going to take some time, right?
It does take some time. And of course, unfortunately, we're a little behind the eight ball because we haven't built enough homes over the last 5 or 10 years. And now we're trying to catch up in a time where we've got all kinds of price increases and, you know, inflation pressures and material shortages and things. But we just got to do the best we can do.
Absolutely. Well, moving on into the other thing we want to talk about. This is a proposal that went before the Hayes City Commission last night in their work session. And the just kind of to sum it up, the mall, the Hayes Mall here, wants to change the CID agreement, from my understanding, correct?
Yeah, they want to extend it, is my understanding of it, for another 10 years, I believe, the 1% CID. And they have asked the commission to consider extending that arrangement beyond what the original plan was.
Yeah, and I think part of the announcement that came out was it was really centered around development, because now they're opening or getting ready to open Always Discount Market or Discount Bargain Outlet. I'm getting the name wrong, but Always.
Right.
And there was a feature in that CID, the original plan, that they didn't quite make, and now they think they can make it, right, because of this construction?
I think so. You know, malls have a tough time right now. Retail in general has changed considerably, and our mall is no different than many. Actually, it does better than many that I've seen.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you've been in a mall, and I've been in several over the last five years or so, oh my goodness. Yeah, sorry to say, but they're all just ghost towns now.
Yeah. And that's a challenge. You know, they've been able to add Harbor Freight and the Dollar Tree out there. Now they've got Ollie's coming in, and they've got a few other things working. But, you know, the financial equation is not a good one for malls. And so they do need some help. This is an optional tax. Obviously, if you don't shop there, you don't pay it. So you choose to either pay that 1% more or you don't shop there. But you know, hopefully it goes towards their ability to make it more attractive to get more Harbor Freight, Dollar Tree type outside, from, you know, entrances from the outside versus the traditional in the mall kind of things. And so I understand people's frustration with taxes in general. I mean, that's what you see a lot of concern about and things. But I don't know what choice we have. You know, if we don't try and help our shopping areas like that, what's the choice? We end up with a big empty building that then we don't know what we're going to do with it, or an eyesore or whatever. Yeah,
and it would take maybe 10 years or more to even get that all cleaned up and rebuilt in new spots, you know, when you consider the whole process.
It's a tough spot for the commissioners. I mean, they're kind of danged if they do and danged if they don't. But I understand where they're coming from. I understand why the mall needs that. You know, there's also this perception out there that the mall charges this outrageous rent. Well, that may have been the case at one time, but I think the rates I have seen quoted at the mall on different businesses looking, it's the cheapest in town in terms of space. And so it's not a function of these guys are, quote unquote, ripping off the public and charging all this outrageous rent. They're trying to survive, you know, and so they need all the help they can get. And, you know, I've heard that, well, the workmanship of some of the installations and that kind of thing wasn't good or whatever. You know, it looks better to me when I go in there. And I think it's just one of those things that it doesn't cost anybody anything but those who shop there, and that's an option by the person who shops there. And so I don't think the merchants there are saying they don't like that, that they feel like it's going to hurt sales. I think they're wanting the place to be better, for improvements to be made so they can do better.
Yeah, and you know, realistically, I think about all the square footage out there, and I've done coverage of the mall over the years. The facility in total, and I don't remember the square footage, but realistically, when you take all of those outside entrances that you mentioned now, which include Harbor Freight, Dollar Tree, the movie theater, and now Ollie's, the square footage there, they are actually pretty full for in terms of space usage. Now, but when you walk inside, you don't get that perception because a lot of the smaller spaces inside remain open.
That's true. They've got some big tenants that take up a lot of space, but they've certainly got a lot of small slots available. And I know they're working all the time to attract some different things. And I think they've got some things working that maybe will take more of those smaller spaces, combine them into one and have an outside access, which is more the trend in those kind of shopping centers and things. But
that's responding to market demand, right? That's what people want to do now. They want to walk around a little bit.
Sure. And so I think we'll see more of that. And I think this CID will help them do some of that and be able to be a little more appealing to prospective tenants.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing I hear quite a bit around this CID thing, because it's been, 8 years since that passed. Where did the money go? And I think maybe we want to talk a little bit about that. You know, there was a substantial amount of revenue that I think that was generated from that CID, but they used that money for the upgrades you see. And I think people maybe just don't understand how expensive those upgrades and some of those just repairs can be.
Very expensive. $1 million, which I think is what this additional ask is, and they have to account for that. They have to send in the bills for that. They have to show where the money went. But you're right. It you start repairing parking lots and redoing the interior floors and that kind of thing, and that amount of square footage, it is very expensive. And that's a huge parking lot out there. You know, it's acres of parking out there. And you could spend $1 million in that parking lot and not even notice that you spent it. Mm-hmm. And the interior work and things as well. So yeah, it doesn't go very far in this day and age, and so it does cost a lot more than you think.
So I do want to ask a follow up on this. What is the alternative? Let's say that crystal ball in it, the mall goes under in 5 years, just as a hypothetical.
Okay.
Where do those tenants go? Because, I think about like JCPenney especially, that's one of the big clothing retailers here in Ellis County. And it would be a huge blow, I think, to lose them. But if that mall were to go under, what do they do? I think.
Well, I don't know that the mall ever goes under per se, but it continues to struggle. Ideally, if that would happen, you know, some of those vendors would go someplace else. But it's a great location. It's serving, I think, JCPenney well, and many of the businesses in there, I think it's serving them well.
Parking lot always seems like every time I drive by, it seems like they've got a
lot of
traffic,
a lot of activity out there. So the question, I don't think, is whether they fail what we do. I think the question is, how can we help them be more successful? And you know, instead of maybe not achieving the results that they would like to see, how do we fill it up? How do we get additional businesses in there, giving local shoppers additional choices, which we hear a lot of, that we would like additional retail choices in our community. How do we help them do that? And this is one way that we do that. And so hopefully this helps them. This allows them to attract some additional tenants, and everybody wins.
Absolutely. It's going to generate some good conversations, I'm sure, either way.
I have no doubt it'll generate a lot of conversation.
Well, Doug, we got to get over to news, weather, and sports, but any other last thoughts or anything you want to hit on before we go?
Well, I'd just like to remind everybody, next week on March 24th, we have a town hall meeting, the Imagine Ellis County Group in Victoria at the VFW from 5:30 to 8 o'clock. Going to feed you some food and hope to get a good turnout in Victoria to talk about what people would like to see in Ellis County. Maybe some of it will even be about shopping.
Maybe a little bit.
Could be.
Very good. Everybody go out. Those are fun events. I went to the big one here in Hayes, and it was a great time.
You bet. We hope to have a good turnout.